James chapter 1, page 1307 in your Scofield Reference Bible. There are two text verses for tonight's message. We'll read just those text verses. The first one being here in the book of James, the 17th verse of the first chapter. We'll read the verse in unison. And as is our custom here at First Baptist, let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Join me, please, in reading the 17th verse of this first chapter. Ready? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Turn back now to the second book of Corinthians, the 6th chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, page 1234. In your Scofield Bible, we'll be reading verse 10. And let's read the 10th verse. Ready? As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. And let's pray. And Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for church. There are a lot of places where we could be tonight, but all of these people have chosen to be here in this place. What a wonderful place it is. How you've blessed us so far. We look forward now to the preaching of your word. Bless it in power. Bless to our hearing thy word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Always hesitate to say what I'm going to say right now because you don't believe me. And you know what I'm going to say, don't you? What am I going to say? I will not preach long tonight. What does that mean? Longer than usual. But tonight I promise you that we will dismiss the service. But I also promise you that I'll be much, much more brief than normal. I mean that I want to speak tonight on the subject, God's plan of distribution. God's plan of distribution. And what I'm going to say tonight in about 30 minutes could transform anybody and everybody's life in this room if you would learn this wonderful truth. You don't need to turn to it again, but I want to read for you an amazing verse, amazing line in an amazing verse. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. Let me paraphrase that little line, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. Let me paraphrase it like this, as holding nothing, yet acquiring all things. Do you see it? As holding nothing, yet acquiring all things. Father, bless the message tonight to our hearts in a sweet and happy and wonderful way. And may there be a truth enter into our hearts tonight that'll help us in our lives as long as we live on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Follow me, please, very carefully as I jump right into it and then just speak very briefly. We're admonished in our text, one of our text verses tonight, in James 1:17, that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. We also are admonished that in Him there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God never varies. He's always the same. He never changes. He's always the same. We're reminded that every good gift comes from Him. Let me ask you a question tonight. Is peace a good gift? Then peace comes from Him. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. The Bible says, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Ask a question. Is strength a good gift? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Is love a good gift? Yes or no? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Now hear me carefully. Every good thing that man can possess is a gift from God. Now, one of the interesting things is how God distributes His gifts. Let me tell you how God distributes. Now, I'm talking about money. I'm talking about love. I'm talking about strength. I'm talking about peace. I'm talking about joy. I'm talking about forgiveness. I'm talking about patience. I'm talking about every good gift is from above. But God has a unique way that He distributes these good and perfect gifts. And here's what it is. Now follow me carefully. God gives that gift to someone. That someone keeps what he needs. Then he passes it on to somebody else. Then he receives more and does the same thing about that. You see, God gives to somebody a gift from above. And every good gift that God gives is a good and a perfect gift. That person receives that gift. Now he uses what he needs of that gift. Then he in turn passes that gift on to somebody else. He in turn receives that gift given originally by God to somebody. And he receives that gift from somebody else. Uses what he needs and passes it on to somebody else. You see, God's plan of distributing His good and perfect gifts is that He does so through us. And in so doing, we keep what we need. The lady who invites someone to eat at her home has guests. She eats too. She prepares the meal. She eats what she needs. And then she passes the food on to somebody else. So God does it this way. God gives me a gift. And God says, now you use what you need of that gift and pass it on to Brother Colston. And Brother Colston takes that gift and uses what he needs. And then he passes it on to Brother Tom, who's sitting there at night praying for the Minnesota baseball team. He's from Minneapolis, Minnesota. And that's why he's got that little earplug in his ear tonight. But Brother Colston passes it on to him. He takes and uses what he needs. And he in turn passes it on to somebody else. Now, let me tell you a couple of differences between gifts that man gives and gifts that God gives. Man gives to you. God gives through you. Another difference. Man gives what he gives you to keep. God gives you what He gives you to give. That's what it means in our text a while ago, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. That means I'm always getting rich and never getting rich. That means that there are always riches coming to me, but I pass them on. And because I pass them on, I'm always getting, and I'm always giving. And I'm always getting, and I'm always giving. You know, I was reared a poor boy, as you know. And that's the reason I attract people like you. But I was reared a poor boy. And I used to be intimidated around wealthy people. But I'm not intimidated anymore around wealthy people. You know why? Because I'm always getting rich. Those who are wealthy have it and keep it. Rest of us have it and give it. So I actually get more than they do. Because here's a fellow gets it and does this and gets it and does this and gets it and does this. I haven't done this in years. I haven't preached my silent sermon in years. It's been years since I preached my silent sermon. You like it because I'm quiet for a while. Let me preach my silent sermon to you. And I didn't plan to do it tonight, but it illustrates exactly what I'm trying to say. I'm going to show you tonight, without saying one word, the secret to the Christian life. I'll guarantee you that the best sermon you'll ever hear in your life, you will see without hearing a word, as I show you A silent sermon, the secret to the Christian life. Now here it is. And that's it. Now here you are. This is you. This is your silent sermon. Ask a question. Who has the most? Second sermon or first sermon? No. Second. Who gets the most? First. So I've made more money than rich people have. I just kept it moving, that's all. So I'm no longer intimidated around rich people. Because my job is, see, God gives me what He gives me. I used to sit when I was a little boy. I used to sit at Mama's knee in Texas, looking at Sears Roebuck catalog. That was our activity, especially on a cold winter day. Look, Sears Roebuck catalog. I used to dream about someday making $1 million. And boy, I said, someday I'm going to make $1 million. And I've made $1 million. I've made tens of millions. And I've made hundreds of millions. But I haven't kept it. Don't you see? That's God's plan of distribution. God says, you have nothing. What it mean? Hold on to nothing. And yet you're acquiring all things. That's what it says. Always acquiring, never holding. Always acquiring, never holding. Always acquiring, never holding. Now, if I stop, look, if God gives to brother, to Dr. Evans over here, a good gift, he takes what he needs and gives it to Brother Lapina. He takes what he needs and gives it to Brother Young. He takes what he needs and gives it to Brother Vogel. He takes what he needs and gives it to Brother Colston. And Brother Colston takes what he needs, gives it to me. And I stop it. And I don't give any to Brother Bordway. Mine. I don't give any to Brother Bordway. Now what happens? Not only do I stop his getting anything, but I stop my getting anything else. It's like a river that's clogged up. To me, the most amazing body of water in the world is a river. I love the ocean, but I prefer a river. I love the lakes, but I prefer a river. You see, what a river does, it takes, and gives. Blesses everything on its journey. Grass is greener where the water flows. The trees are prettier where the water flows. People are better off, more prosperous, because the water is flowing. But the river basically is a channel. It just takes the water, gives the water, takes the water, and gives the water. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's God's way of distributing every good gift and every perfect gift. God gives it to me. I take what I need, just as the banks of a river, and then let it go on down to help the banks down the way. And I give you some. You take what you need, and you give the rest. And he takes what he needs, and he gives the rest. Now let me use illustrations, Bible truths about this. You see, we only associate this with things, but this great truth of God's plan of distribution is used in other areas. For example, let's take forgiveness. Did not Jesus say, if you forgive men their trespasses, then I will forgive you of your trespasses? Isn't that what he said? All right, let's suppose that Jesus forgives me. He gives me forgiveness. Now, what's my job? My job is to pass it on. Is that right? I'm to pass it on. Let's suppose that I don't pass it on. That means I have plugged up or dammed up the river. And that means God says, I won't forgive you anymore. Because if you don't pass it on to somebody else, I won't give you anymore. Is that what he says? He says, forgive men their trespasses, and he will forgive your trespasses and mine. Now that means if I am forgiven by God, he gives me forgiveness. By the way, forgiveness is always of God. Because forgiveness is a good and a perfect gift. You can't in your own nature forgive, because man by nature is not forgiving. So all forgiveness is a gift of God. So I come and I say, God, forgive me. And God gives me forgiveness. But I don't, but Brother Colston says, forgive me. And I said, no way. No way. What have I done? I have failed to let that forgiveness flow through me to him. And in so doing, God says, I won't forgive you anymore. And that's the reason why there are many folks in this room tonight who sit here unforgiven because you have not let forgiveness flow through you. And by the way, this is God's forgiveness. This is not me forgiving Brother Colston. This is God forgiving Brother Colston through me. It is God's forgiveness. Forgiveness is a gift of God. It is a good and a perfect gift from God. So if I forgive you, I'm not forgiving you. God is forgiving you because I cannot generate forgiveness. I cannot manufacture forgiveness. But God does. So as I look to God and say, God, I failed you. Forgive me. And God gives me the great gift of forgiveness. If that forgiveness flows through me to you and through you to him and through him to him, then God will give me more forgiveness. And as long as I am a channel where forgiveness flows through me, God's own forgiveness flows through me, then I can receive more forgiveness. But you let me keep that forgiveness and not pass it on to Brother Colston and forgive him for all the dirty, nasty things he's done against me. Only God in heaven knows all the things he's done against me. But the truth is, if I don't forgive him, what does God say? God said, your cup is already full. There's no place for more forgiveness. So I won't forgive you. But I forgive him. And I take that forgiveness that God gives me, let it flow through me, and God says, then I'll forgive you some more. As long as I am giving out forgiveness, I am receiving forgiveness. Hey, that's a pretty good deal. That's God's method of distributing every good gift and every perfect gift. Let's take the matter. If God gives to me, I give to you. It is God that does it. If I hold it, I get no more. Let's take the matter of joy and happiness. Everybody wants to have joy and happiness. It's a gift from God. By the way, you'll never have true joy unless it's God's gift. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. So, I come to God and I say, God, I want to have joy and happiness. Are you listening? God says, okay, I'll give you joy and happiness. Now, wait a minute. If I, in turn, take the happiness that has its source, the great heart of Jehovah God, and allow that happiness to flow through me to another, then God keeps giving me joy. I keep giving you joy, and God gives me joy, and I give you joy. But if I quit bringing joy into the lives of others, God will not give me joy. Why? Because the river's blocked up. The river's all dammed up. That's why many of you don't have joy. That's why you sit in that and with a frown on your face. That's why you're trying to find something wrong instead of something good. That's why you don't want to cooperate. You know why? You don't have joy. You know why you don't have joy? God gave it to you and you didn't let it pass through you. And because you didn't let it pass through you, God doesn't give you any more. God's method of distribution is using humanity and giving to humanity that which is a good and perfect gift. Humanity, in turn, turns and gives it to somebody else, and God gives more. He gives it to somebody else, and God gives more. Now listen, your joy will not be fresh unless you are giving out the old joy. Your joy will stagnate unless you keep it moving. Your peace will stagnate unless you keep it moving. Your happiness will stagnate unless you keep it moving. That's one reason why God's people ought to be joy spreaders. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. But that's not all. It must leave my heart and go to other. If God gives me joy, I'm to give you joy. And as I give you joy, God gives me more joy. So if you want fresh joy all the time and excitement and happiness all the time, you've got to be giving out that which God gives to you. It's God's method of distributing every good gift and every perfect gift. Let's take them out. By the way, that's why you're not happy tonight. You're living on stale joy. Let's suppose that you decide to get a drink of water tonight, and you go out to some little pond that's stagnated. It is full, It never gives out, like the Dead Sea. It never gives out. And because of that, you can't be refreshed by a good drink of water. You want to be refreshed by a spring stream where the water is flowing all the time. Taking, giving. Taking, giving. That's God's method of distribution. Let's take the matter of strength. Real strength is a good gift and a perfect gift. That means it's from above and cometh down from the Father. They that wait, Isaiah said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their what? They shall mount up with wings as they shall run and not be. They shall walk and not. All right? So what does it mean? It means that strength, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Here's what's good about it. What does it mean, renewing? It means you get new strength all the time. Well, how do you get new strength all the time? You use what you've got and you give it to somebody else. I'll guarantee you that there are people in this room tonight who come to this service every Sunday morning in need of strength and walk out of here every Sunday night with strength. You know why? Because God has given me strength. And I, in turn, stand up here and God knows I want to give you strength. But if I do not use the strength that God has given me to pass on, I will not have new and fresh strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. A constant renewal of strength. So God gives me strength, I give you strength. You get strength, you give Him strength. He gets strength, He gives Him strength. He gets strength, He gives Him strength. He gets strength, He gives Him strength. And well, what does it mean? It means that as long as you give strength to those who are weak, God will keep on giving you strength. That's God's method of distribution of every good gift that He has. I'll guarantee you, I've had more money come through my hands probably than anybody in the city of Hammond. I guarantee you another thing. I'm not one of the 10,000 richest people in Hammond. But I guarantee you, I don't have to look at any multimillionaire in Hammond and feel inferior. I've made more money than he has. If I just took all the money through these years of my books alone, I've written now, I've just finished my, having printed now, about my 35th book. Over 11 million copies of my books have been sold. If I just took the money from those alone, I'd be a pretty rich man. But I'm not a millionaire. I am a hundredaire, I must confess. But I'm not a millionaire. But I have no reason to be intimidated by folks who are. There's only one difference. I keep getting it and they don't. It flows through me. It flows to them. Why? God gave it to me and man gave it to them. So I have nothing, yet make many rich. I have nothing, and yet I possess all things. I hold on to nothing, and yet I acquire all things. That's one reason why I'm strong. I mean that. There's not a man in this room, I don't care if you're 30 years old, could keep my pace. Not a one. Not a vacation in almost 20 years. Not a day off in almost 20 years. 3 sermons a day for the last 25 or 30 years. 200,000 miles a year flying on jet planes all over the country and around the world. Writing books, counseling. You know that, and I said this, I praise God, I have not missed one single speaking engagement in 20 years, either here or around the country, because of illness. Well, you say, brother, for example, let's see. Keith, you were sick, what day? Thursday. I have missed a day's work 20 years. These young squirts here can't take it. You couldn't keep my schedule. I'm 61 years old. You couldn't keep my schedule. But where do you get all your strength? From Him. What do you do with it? Try to strengthen others. What happens? He gives me more. God wants to get strength to you. God can find some channel through which He can get you that strength. He'll give Him strength. God wants to get joy to you. He can find some channel through which He can get that joy to you. God will give that channel joy. And God wants to get money to the poor people. Oh, you say, if I had $1 million, I'd feed every poor person in Hammond. God knows whether you would or not. And if you'd feed every poor person in Hammond, God would give you $1 million. Because God wants to flow through you. He wants to give through you. Let's take the matter of encouragement. God gives me encouragement. What am I supposed to do with it? I'm supposed to pass it on. So what does God do? He gives me new encouragement. If I ever see discouragement coming, I immediately go encourage somebody. Now, it's not this thing about you always get more than you give when you go out to cheer somebody. That's not exactly it, though that's true, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you cheer somebody, when you encourage somebody, you are letting encouragement flow out of you to them, so you have room for fresh encouragement to flow into you. Boy, isn't that good? I mean, that's the way God does it. If you want fresh strength, renewed strength, you've got to take the old strength God gave you and strengthen somebody else. If you want new joy all the time, you've got to let the joy that He gave yesterday flow through you today. If you want new encouragement tomorrow, you've got to take your day's encouragement, you're listening to me, and let it flow through you to somebody else. That is God's method of distribution. And the reason the world is discouraged tonight is because not enough people are distributing what God gives. Are you listening to me now? The reason the world doesn't have peace tonight is because God can't find anybody to distribute His peace through them. The reason the world is hungry tonight is because we don't take what we have and let it go through us. The reason the world is sad tonight because we don't take the joy that God gives us. It's not enough. Well, I got saved and I've had joy in my soul ever since. If it's the same joy, you've got problems. And that's why Christians get sour. And that's why Christians get pessimistic. And pardon this Greek word, but that's why they get cattywampus. Why? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you what's the trouble with you. Because you're not letting joy flow out. There are folks right now in this room. I don't know who you are, but there are folks right in this room. You don't let any joy flow out. You've got all that joy that God gave you clogged up, and it's getting stagnated. You're living on yesterday's blessings and last month's blessings and last month's strength and last month's joy and last month's happiness. That's one reason why I like humor. I think humor encourages people. I like what he said a while ago about Pastor Knight. I never had thought of that before. He's just not... his vocabulary and mine are a bit different. Though both of us talk about God a great deal. But in a little different light, I think. But I mean, what I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, is this. God wants to give you new peace every day. But you've got to make room for it by distributing the other peace He gave you yesterday. God wants to give you new joy every day. But you'll not get new joy for tomorrow unless you give somebody else the joy of your heart today. You want peace, but you won't have peace. New, fresh, exciting peace. Until you take the peace that God gives you and it flows through you to others. Take the matter of comfort. Comfort is a gift of God. One of God's good and perfect gifts. God comes and gives me comfort. What do? I sit at home and enjoy that comfort, then I will not get any more comfort. But if I can take the comfort that God gives me, now listen carefully to what I'm going to say right now. If I can take the comfort that God gives me, and in turn I can comfort you, then God gives me fresh and new comfort. You know, that's one reason why God gives preachers heartaches like He does everybody else. We're human too. I mean, Pastor Howes, Pastor Knight, all of us are human. But I'm saying, you say, well, Brother Howes, who comforts you? God comforts me. See? So God gives me comfort. So what do? I rush to the pulpit. Why? And because of my burdens? No! God has given me comfort! I want to use that comfort and tell you there's comfort available! And what happens? While I'm comforting you, God's comforting me. And while I'm strengthening you, God is strengthening me. I preached in Delaware, Newcastle, right near what's the town near Newcastle? Wilmington, Delaware, at a national convention. Dr. Lee Robertson and I were the speakers. I finished preaching. Dr. Robertson walked up and said, Dr. Hiles, were you preaching to us? or to yourself? And I said, both. Both. God had given me strength for my burden. What am I to do? Sit there and examine it? No, sir. Pass it on. So I in turn, by the way, it's God's strength flowing through me. It is not me giving you strength. It is God giving you strength through me. It is not me encouraging you. It is God. It is encouraging. Are you listening to me? Are you listening? It is God encouraging you with His divine encouragement flowing through me. And that's why. That's what's wrong. I wish I could reach out tonight and take every one of you and shake you good and hard and say, listen to what I'm saying. I'm telling you a secret to life right here. You want joy? You don't have to take pep pills. I've got a pep pill for you right here. You want peace? You don't have to take a tranquilizer. You don't have to go to some shrink. You don't have to. Just take the gift that God gives you and let it flow through you. So fresh blessings are coming all the time that you give and that you take. You give and that you take and that you give and that you take. And God Almighty says, I'll keep on giving as long as you'll keep on giving it. Don't you think God wants folks to have peace? Well, then if He finds somebody that'll give it, He'll dead sure give an abundance of it, won't He? Don't you think God wants folks to have joy? Then if He'll find somebody who'll give that joy, He'll certainly give an abundance of it. Don't you think God wants you to have comfort? Well, of course He does. And God will give you more comfort. If you will take that comfort, take what you need, comfort somebody else, God gives you more. Comfort somebody else, God gives you more. Now, let me say again, keep some for yourself. God wants you to have some. Here's a lady, prepares a meal. She has a dozen folks there. She wants them to enjoy it. And she keeps looking at them to see how much of it they're taking. And to see how they seem to be enjoying it. What is she doing? While she's got a turkey and dressing that she's serving you, what's she doing? Eating a Big Mac and French fries? No, she's eating the very same thing she cooked. She takes what she needs. But most of it's for somebody else. And they get strength from the meal. And that's what God does. God says, I have all kinds of good and perfect gifts. I'd like to distribute them to mankind. But God, in His wisdom, has used mankind to be distributors. Person has measles. And Governor Orr and I have talked on the phone about measles back yonder. We had our little problem about measles. But person has measles. Okay, here's what happens. The state sends some measles shots to a doctor's office. Now follow me carefully. That doctor takes a measles vaccination. He gives his wife measles vaccination. He gives his children measles vaccination. And then keeps the rest of it in his office. There's nothing wrong with what he's done about his family, but that vaccine was to be spread. The doctor was the channel. And the folks will not get it unless the doctor channels it, and the world out yonder needs some encouragement. But all encouragement is a good and perfect gift, and every good and perfect gift is from above. Well, how do they get it? God doesn't look down and blow breath from heaven, encouraging breath. God sends some bus captain out on a Saturday whose heart has been encouraged from God's throne, and through him flows that encouragement to encourage somebody else. You know, that's why poor people ought to give to the poor. A very, very rich man keeps what he needs, supposed to, and gives to somebody that has less. Then he gives to somebody who has less. Then he gives somebody that says, I was on a mission field. Dr. Evans, I was on a mission field in a little old church that was pitiful. It had dogs and cats and lizards in the church building. And the money, they didn't have much money, and was supported by American missionaries and churches. And you know, they took an offering for missions. This little old church took an offering for missions. Why? Because the poor are supposed to support the poorer. And the poorer are supposed to support the poorest. You take what you need. That's God's plan for distribution. And look, and I'll close with this. I'm talking tonight to hundreds of people whom God is not forgiving. And I'll tell you why. Because you've got something in your heart against somebody else, and until you get that out of your heart and you start forgiving, you will never get any fresh forgiveness. And that's why you got a sour face now. At this minute, you can look around and see them. Everybody's smiling now. Yeah, look at them. You can see them. They're visible. Why? I'll tell you why. God will not give you forgiveness until you let that forgiveness flow through you to other people. I'm talking to folks tonight who are not happy. You've tried everything in the world to get happy. But you're not happy. Why? I'll tell you why. Because God has given you joy. And you've not let that heavenly joy flow through you to somebody else. And because you haven't, your joy has stagnated. I'm talking to folks tonight who have no comfort. You grieve and mourn and have no comfort. Why? Because you've not taken the comfort that God has given you and let yourself become a channel to take God's comfort through you to somebody else. Now you listen to me, folks. I'm finished. I'm through. But I put my finger on every problem in this room tonight. Every one. Every problem in this room tonight, I put my finger right on the nerve center. Are you sad? I'll tell you why you're sad. You've been thinking about your own sadness instead of taking the joy that God gave you and letting it flow through you. Are you suicidal? No joy? I don't know why you don't have it. God gave it to you, but you didn't take it and make somebody else joyous and make somebody else happy. Listen to me. That's enough of that cutting up back there, that couple. That's enough of that. What you ought to be doing is you ought to be grasping this truth and saying it'll transform my life. That's what it'll do. That's why tonight you're weak. I'm talking about that's why you can't face your problem. God has given you strength for your problems. But you keep dwelling on your own. You take that strength that came from the very fountainhead of God Almighty Himself and make somebody else strong. And before you look up and get your hands ready to cup, God will have it already coming from glory down to you. And that's why you're not forgiven. And that's why you're not happy. And that's why you're weak. And that's why you're discouraged. And that's why you're grieved. Why? You've never yet learned that you are a distributor of God's divine attributes. And until you decide to take that which originated at the fountainhead of glory itself, given from God Almighty as a good and perfect gift to man, and you take that and give it to somebody else, God says, got some more? You take it. Use what you need. Give it to somebody else. God says, I've got some more. Till you learn that, you're going to go on your miserable way with your critical nature, with your discouraged soul, with your miserly heart, and with your self-pity, thinking about yourself, it's still true. You don't get till you give. And the reason you get is because the very giving of that which you have makes room for that which is fresh to come from the throne of grace to you and then bless God through you to somebody else. And through them to somebody else. And through them to somebody else. And through them to somebody else. And the great thing about this marvelous truth, the most wonderful thing about it all, anytime if I give something to you, it is temporal.